morning, everybody. It's Thursday, November 20th. Going to do a quick show here talking about the Week 12 slate. Was supposed to be on the air last night with Maddie Saint, 2023 Circa winner. Little under the weather this week, so that did not happen. That's on me, but figured I would wake up this morning and just do a little brief review of this Week 12 slate, give out a pick on every game, or at least which side I would prefer to bet. This will be a shorter show for sure. Again, I do this show for free. I don't get any, that might be obvious at this point. I don't get any payment or incentive for this show. Just want to put out more content, want to put out information for you and give out my thoughts on every week of the NFL. As we get into the back half of the season, we had two straight winning weeks, albeit last week was very, very slight winning week, but still a winning week. Cowboys came through with us for that four-unit play on Monday night. We are plus 8 units in the NBA. You should know this already, but if you don't, you can get all my plays at Substack. Substack is where I do all of my writing, where all of my content is. FarleyBets.substack.com. And, you know, just want to say one thing. I think it's kind of funny. There's a few podcasts out there who are like, you know, they put out their picks for free. This is for free. We're doing this for free. You don't have to pay for my picks. Just giving out all these picks for free. And if they're winning, obviously they love to say that. It's not for fucking free. You know, they got, you know, 20 minutes of ads on their show. Many of these guys are long-standing podcasts that are getting paid for those shows, right? Like that's their salary. That's their way of life, which is awesome. Good for them, but you're not giving out your fucking picks for free. Like that's your job, right? So shut the fuck up with that stuff. I'm in rare form this morning, if you can't tell. Man, there's a lot going on in the world. I have to handle these pussies on X every day. If I say anything remotely true about the state of the world and the current administration and all that shit. But you know what? It's fine. You know, it's good times. It's nothing but, you know, softies who would never say anything in the real world. They like to chirp on X. Okay. Let's go through this Week 12 NFL slate. Obviously, we are uncensored here on laying the points. That's how I like to keep it. And I'm going to go pretty quick here. Check out Maddie Saint, though. I believe it's just at Maddie Saint on X. He was supposed to be on my show last night. Like I said, I canceled that show because I've been feeling like shit this week. I needed to get a better sleep. Would have loved to have him on. Maybe I'll have him on in the future. But he is the 2023 Circa winner. And obviously a very sharp guy with a lot of good things to say. So pay attention to him. I'm going to promote him anyway. I believe it's just at Maddie Saint. If you look that up, you'll find it. Okay. Bills at the Texans is tonight on Thursday. This game is difficult because of how different these teams are, right? The Bills defense is not good. They're especially not good against the run. They're one of the worst defenses in the NFL against the run, and that's been pretty consistent. We're in week 12, right? Like at this point, and I know they've had plenty of injuries, but at this point, the Bills defense, it's not good against the run. They're better against the pass. They have a top 5 sack rate, which isn't good for Davis Mills, right? But in what's predicted to be a pretty low scoring game, 43.5, I don't know if that's low enough, considering how these Houston Texans games typically go. Because Houston tends to control the narrative. They tend to control the pace of the game because of how good their defense is. And they are the number one defense in the NFL. Like when you lead the NFL in opponent points and yards per game, number one, you're the best defense in the NFL. And I know they haven't faced necessarily a who's who of elite offenses this season. And the Bills are built differently. But last year, the Texans held Josh Allen 9 for 30 for like a buck 30 or something. I don't know off the top of my head. This is all coming off the top of my head as I do a lot of research every week. I don't like to read from my notes. That's a boring podcast, right? But they held him. They limited him last season. And the Texans know once again that they're going to have to play the same type of game if they hope to beat Josh Allen and the Bills again. The market shows no mercy for the Texans here. The Bills are 6-point favorites. I would have to pick the Texans here. Now, again, the picks that I'm about to tell you are not necessarily my official picks. You can get them at Substack. Check out the link in my bio. I'm going to pick a game. I'm going to pick a side in every game. And I can only look at the Texans here because of how all of their games go. They're low scoring. They kind of dirty it up. Josh Allen showed it last week. Okay, this is not the Bucs defense. Right, the Bucs defense, not very good against the pass. We know that. They're better against the run. But even against the Bucs defense, Josh Allen made some very boneheaded mistakes. I think the Texans are going to force him into mistakes. Josh Allen interception is around minus 115. I don't think that's a bad look at all. And I would have to go Texans here. The Bills and Josh Allen are going to go as far as Josh Allen takes them. And right now, because of deficiencies on defense and the lack of skill talent around Josh Allen, which has pretty much always been the case, too much is channeling through him and he's making mistakes again. And, you know, I think we're going to see the same result we always see from the Bills as they get to the playoffs. We all want them to win. They don't win. They get knocked out divisional round, AFC championship, something like that. Steelers at the Bears. I'll be honest, this is one of those games where I haven't given my deepest look to, because immediately it's tough to project what's going to happen in this game. Do we know if Aaron Rodgers is playing in this game? Like, every time I look up Aaron Rodgers, which is multiple times a day, it's like he says, oh, you know, I should play through the wrist injury, but I don't know if that's a sure thing. He is playing. Okay. All right. Aaron Rodgers is playing with a fucked up left wrist. That's going to be interesting. I mean, that alone is reason to not like the Steelers here. You know, Aaron Rodgers at 41 is already limited. Now he's going to be in pain anytime he gets hit during this game. He's in pain anyway at 41, right? I get it. But this Bears defense is not fantastic. But they're at home, you know, it's Chicago weather. It's going to hurt a little bit more in the bones. And the Steelers offense is as predictable as it gets. Now, Sunday in Chicago, it's actually going to be pretty nice, right? Sunny, 55, 56, something like that. So not as bad as it usually is at this time of year. And actually almost no wind. That's pretty rare for Chicago. Of course, that could change. So always look at Chicago weather at this time of year. And how that changes these games. I don't have a lot to say here. I think the Bears should win this game. I don't think this is a pick you could take in Survivor or anything like that. I know some people who like the Steelers. Maybe you want to tease up the Steelers. The Steelers are just in a tough spot right now. They blew out the Bengals in a game where they probably should not have blown out the Bengals, right? They got some fortunate bounces in that game. Their defense stepped up a little bit, but kind of a phony blowout win at home. Like, they weren't that impressive. And now they're back on the road at Chicago against the Chicago team that this is what they do. Against mid-tier bad teams, they win. Like, give me Chicago here. Jets at the Ravens. Lamar Jackson didn't practice yesterday. I think part of that is just like a normal rest routine for him at this point. He didn't practice the week before on Wednesday either. That being said, I still think this is a great spot for the Ravens. They've been on the road for three straight games. They're 13.5 at home, but it makes sense. The Jets with Tyrod Taylor, who I guess Aaron Glenn is not trying to fool anybody about who he's choosing at quarterback this week. If I were him, I would still be trying to confuse people, right? Because Tyrod Taylor, there's no explosive qualities to Tyrod Taylor. Man, he can run the ball a little bit. But at least Justin Fields adds that element of a rushing attack. And he's good. Like, he's athletic. He's fast. He's built to run. Like, the Jets have seen offensive success when Justin Fields is running the ball. getting first downs. There's going to be no explosive qualities to the Jets offense in this game. Now, Breece Hall is there, and the Ravens defense hasn't been great against the run, but they've been better. They've been better on this winning streak that they're on. Now they're back at home after three games on the road. As long as something's not up with Lamar, and he didn't look great last week at Cleveland, but he never does. Like, I'm not going to panic, you know. The Ravens at Cleveland has never been a good setup for the Ravens. So, like, this season is no different. But back home, against a team like the Jets, when they can just keep on winning, they can kind of start having fun again against a depleted defense that's just not the, you know, it's not built the same anymore after they got rid of a few guys. Give me the Ravens in that one. See what's going on Twitter here. Nice. Okay, cool. All right, Giants at the Lions. Lions are 10.5-point favorites. They should be. We know what Dan Campbell and the Lions do after a loss. I think they're like 13-0 against the spread after a loss straight up. This is a big spread. Jackson Dart should be back. He was back at practice. He was, he didn't get touched at practice, but he was back at practice yesterday. I would imagine he plays in this game. I like the over in this one. I think, you know, Jackson Dart, the numbers are convincing enough that when he's a quarterback for the Giants offense is going to do much better. They're going to put up some points. He doesn't turn over the ball, at least mostly doesn't turn over the ball, except for if he's running with the ball and he fumbles, which maybe he's going to be a little safer with that now. But I don't trust the Giants defense against the Lions. I know the Lions and Jared Goff, when he gets rattled, he's not very good, but they're at home. Their offensive line is still a little banged up, but I think they just have a great game plan for this one. I would have to lean Lions here, but stronger play, I think, in this game is the over. Lions could put up 40 in this one, and I wouldn't blink an eye. Like, the Giants probably just have to put up 14 and 17, and this gets at least close to the over. So I think, you know, as far as everything in this game, right, is probabilities, right? It's what's the highest probability of something happening? Over 50 feels very strong. Patriots at the Bengals. This one is actually ticked down a little bit at sharper books here at BetOnline. It's +7. It was what? It was 8.5 in favor of the Patriots earlier in the week. Is there a chance that Joe Burrow plays in this game? I don't think so, right? But he was out there practicing, apparently. I know that they were slating for him coming back on Thanksgiving. Obviously, if Burrow comes back, that changes the game for the Bengals. And I think they're a great pick in this one, right? You got Drake May, who's an ascending young player, but Joe Burrow is already that guy. And he's going to take pride in the fact that he's back at home against the quarterback who thinks he's a Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow. And he significantly changes the energy in the room when he's with his team. I mean, consider this. Leading into the season, we all knew how bad the Bengals defense was and still is. And yet, in many circles, in some odds, like I know the Bengals weren't a Super Bowl favorite, according to the odds, but people considered the Bengals as like a comeback year for Joe Burrow because that's how fucking good he is. And I don't know if he's probably not going to play in this game, I guess, right? I mean, Flacco's questionable, so it makes you wonder. But this is an interesting spot for the Patriots, who week after week after week, I love what Vrabel's doing. I love the locker room culture. I love what the players are saying. Stay humble. They're doing basically everything right. Their defense is getting better every week. And Drake May has been unflappable, which is not a word, but he has been. That said, this is an obviously sleepy spot for the Patriots. Off extended rest. When you're doing that well, when you have that much momentum and consistency and you're off extended rest, it could cause a little wrinkle in the operation. And especially if Joe Burrow comes back, watch this game, okay? Because I watch the injury reports in the news for this game, because if there's a chance that Burrow's back, I think you have to go with the Bengals in this situation. I don't think you're going to get a +7, but maybe, you know, just to take a little sprinkle on the +7 now. Seahawks at the Titans. the fact that the Titans came off the bye and nothing changed, right? Like, they're the same team. You saw Cam Ward do a few good things. Then you saw them make really poor mistakes, really clumsy operation offensively. Jeffrey Simmons was back, still didn't make a huge difference on their defense. The Seahawks should roll here, but again, interconference, weird spot for the Seahawks. 13.5 is a lot. I still lean Seahawks. I wouldn't recommend you putting a lot of money on that bet. Vikings at the Packers. This is a weird one. Immediately when I saw it, I'm thinking, you know, Packers all day, right? Not that I think the Packers are a good team. They're not. If you watch the Packers the last few games, you should know that. Against the Eagles, against the Giants, against the Panthers at home. Even though we've seen the best version of the Packers earlier this season, great teams maintain consistent form. And that's not what the Packers are doing. Matt LaFleur, I've really flipped on him. I've always thought he was a pretty good coach, smart coach, like a guy that can – like, I was on Matt LaFleur's side in the LaFleur versus Aaron Rodgers situation, right? Like, shut up, Aaron. Listen to Matt LaFleur. He's your coach. But I can see why the two, like, they didn't work out together because just, like, big egos, right? And Matt LaFleur is, like, this barely 6-foot former quarterback who couldn't play in the pros, couldn't even play at a great college, and he's just angry all the time. There's just a little bit of, like, a Napoleon complex little man, like, I'm angry at the world type of thing going on with Matt LaFleur all the time. And first of all, talk about an annoying human being. That's the majority of human beings on Twitter, right? Like, especially the guys, right? They're just like, oh, fuck you. Shut the fuck up, dude. And they're like, you know, no offense to anybody who's like 5'9", but they're, you know, probably like 5'9", 145 pounds. Just like talking shit. Like, that's kind of how Matt LaFleur seems, you know? And he's not at this point. If we've watched their offensive game plans against a team like the Giants, who, if you're the Packers, run the ball on the Giants, who cannot stop the run. But what did we see last week? Oh, one run, five Aaron Jordan Love passes in a row, three and out. You know, like the Packers didn't do anything in that game until the very end. Like, the Giants were hanging with them, and they're lucky that Jameis Winston did his typical shtick and threw an interception. So the Packers are letting teams hang around. At the same time, J.J. McCarthy is not a good quarterback. 9 is not a good quarterback. And he has a lot of room to grow. And I'm not one of these guys who likes to shit on young players because, you know, let's give him a chance to grow. But the anticipation, the perception of this dude who has an alternate personality when he's on the field, 9. Imagine if I had an alternate personality during the show. Like, hey, guys, when I'm on this show, I'm six. I'm six, man. Watch out. Shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? So, you know, Kevin O'Connell is a nice guy. He's a quarterback guru. But maybe he's putting too much weight. It's clear at this point, putting a little too much gravitas on a kid that can't handle it just yet. I do think this is a spot for the Packers to clean up at home, outside. Vikings are not used to playing outside. I'm not saying the Vikings aren't a good team outside. They're in the NFC North, so they can do it. But this is a plus matchup in virtually every category for the Packers. And if that defensive line in front seven that's been touch and go plays up to half of its potential, J.J. McCarthy shouldn't be able to do much in this game. Give me the Packers -6.5. Colts at Chiefs. I'm going to give out the lead here a little bit. Here's your free play. As soon as I saw this, and you're getting great odds in most shops here, right? I'm looking at BetOnline -3.5 for the Chiefs, +105. I know as bettors, as professional bettors, you don't want to take a -3.5. However, the market, when it hangs on to a 3.5 for the chalk, it is saying something. It is saying that it doesn't want to go down to a three. Excuse me. A little congested. The fact that the market doesn't want to move on this one, and I believe I got a three at the beginning of the week, but it's been staying at this -3.5. Again, if you want to take the Colts +3.5, -125 at sharp books, you're going to pay a lot of juice. This is one of those situations, guys, where a few things I think are going to be abundantly clear. Colts defense, not very good. Daniel Jones is going to get rattled by Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense at home. The Chiefs team, aren't they 5-5? They're 5-5, right? I mean, it's hard to believe. Let's just make sure, because every time I say that, yeah, they're 5-5. The 8-2 Colts against the 5-5 Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to run away with this game. It was one of my first plays that I gave out to my customers. No chance am I taking Daniel Jones and the Colts on the road against this perennial Super Bowl contender, who I know they haven't played up to par this season. Everybody plays the Chiefs well. I get it. Colts are coming off a bye. Oh, scary. It's not scary. This is at Arrowhead. This is Mahomes against a very mediocre defense, average at best. And this is Steve Spagnuolo against Daniel Jones. Think about it. If I'm going to hang my hat on any play this week, it's the Chiefs covering against the Colts. The Jags at the Cardinals. I'm just going to say this. The Jags looked great last week. They let that other running back carry the ball a little bit more. I forget his name. He looked good. Maybe that's a new secret weapon for the Jags. Their defense finally played well. But some of that is the Chargers and their lack of solid protection for Justin Herbert, who, like, think about that. I liked the Steelers against the Chargers a week before that. The Steelers with arguably the best, the most talented front seven in the NFL. Justin Herbert gets protected pretty well in that game, and the Chargers run away with it. Then they go to Jacksonville, and the Jacksonville defense dominates the Chargers. Like, that's the NFL for you, right? Because the Jacksonville defense has not looked good for about a month. They looked good at the start of the season, but that's the NFL for you. It's annoying as hell. Anyway, we don't know which Jacksonville team is going to show up. The Cardinals at home, I've been waiting for them after multiple embarrassing spots, embarrassing performances to step up. They haven't. So I can't trust either side here. This is the game. You know what? I'm not going to pick a side in this game. I'm not doing it. I can't trust either one of those teams right now. Let's see which version of both teams shows up this Sunday. Browns at the Raiders. Browns are up to +4. Shedeur Sanders is up to +4. This is his spot. Hey, shout out to Maddie at Football Contest here on X on Twitter. If you enter any contests in Circa or in Vegas, look up Maddie. Great team. That's my proxy every season at Football Contest. Maddie said at the start of the season that Shedeur Sanders, is going to start in week 12. And here he is. That's pretty damn good. If Shedeur Sanders is a decent quarterback at all, like if he's ready for this moment at all, this is the defense to face. I know they have Max Crosby, I know, but the Browns, they know that too. Right. So, like, throw two or three guys at Max Crosby. All right. But against the secondary, Shedeur, guys are going to be open. And the Browns defense is very good. I know they're not as good on the road. I know many of you probably listen to Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik every week. Steve Fezzik has said it over and over again. He's right. The Browns defense on the road, allowing like 30 points per game the last two seasons, it's not as good. But this is the Raiders. Have we been watching the Raiders in this operation and how bad it is? Like, Geno Smith is going to throw an interception at a certain point. I think the Browns can hang around in this game. Give me the Browns +4. Like the Raiders as favorites? Nah, I don't think so. Falcons at the Saints. Ugly, ugly game. You got Kirko maybe fighting for his, final curtain call. moment in the NFL, like his final years, final seasons. Maybe he can go with one more team. Maybe he wants to go back up to Minnesota. I don't know. They seem to be really happy in Minnesota. If you watched quarterback, oh, Kirk, you know, he's got his little haircut place that he goes to. Don't you know, you know, they got their house. They're like, it's like Minnesota is like where they should be. Just like a sweet family, sweet people. So maybe that's where, like, he wants to go back to a place like that. I love Kirk as a human being. I want him to succeed. He's just a sweet guy. but the Saints, excuse me. I gotta do it. I gotta sip. The Saints are favorites for a reason, and it's ugly, but they are off a bye. Tyler Shook, or whatever the hell his name is, you know, he looked okay against the Panthers. They came together against the Panthers. They won that game. So they took momentum and positivity into the bye week. Now, the Saints, for what it's worth, the Saints are a pretty average team, like below average in many offensive categories, but like there are worse teams than the Saints. The Saints compete most weeks. And Kirk Cousins and this Atlanta Falcons team, like, it's not on Kirk. Raheem Morris has no control over this team. This team has no belief. The Falcons, the first few weeks of the season, you look at any defensive metric, they were at the top of the list. The Falcons' defense looked amazing. But the last 2 months, fucking terrible. I mean, you cannot count on the Falcons' defense to stop anybody. Bryce Young, what, 480 yards? Like, what are we talking about? You allowed Bryce Young, and, you know, kudos to Bryce Young, but you allowed him to look like Joe Montana out there? Like, what are we doing? You can't trust the Falcons here. Give me the Saints. Saints minus two. I'm sorry, Kirk. Maybe you tease up the Falcons, but I don't know, man. This is a nice spot for the Saints to, like, be excited. They have a great fan base in the Nolens area. Give me the Saints. Can't trust the Falcons right now. I think Raheem Morris gets fired if the Saints win that game. It's interesting to see, you know, after 1 week of the Cowboys, and the Cowboys were my biggest play of the week in week 11 against the Raiders. It's interesting to see them respected by the marketplace. And they played their best football, even in a loss. In week one against the Eagles, you could see Dak and how like, he was amped. He was focused. He wanted to win that game so fucking bad. And they wanted to show that they're not intimidated by the Eagles, right? Like, if there's any rivalry in the NFC East right now that feels like it's heavier, it's this one. Because the Cowboys, before Jalen Hurts came along, the Cowboys were kind of controlling this division, right? And Dak Prescott has been one of the best passers in the league, like him or not. He's been an MVP candidate a few times now the past few seasons. This is a great offense. I mean, look at George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb and what they're doing every week. Their running game is better than people thought. Javonte Williams looks pretty good. Defensively, they looked better against the Raiders. Quinnen Williams gets that inside. They will get penetration, got that inside penetration. But again, it was against the Raiders. This is not the Raiders, but the Eagles' offensive line is banged up. Eagles are on the road. God, I hope the Eagles lose this game. Because the Eagles will be a better pick on Thanksgiving if that's the case. Plus, I would just like to see it. I would like to see a little moment for Dak and the Cowboys. I fucking hate both these teams, by the way. But, like, I like the way that the Cowboys came out in week one against the Eagles. They've been thinking about this game. They've been circling this game. Give me the Cowboys plus 3.5. This was plus 4.5. It's mega juice now, minus 125, even at plus 3.5 at Sharp Books. But give me the Cowboys. I think they bring their best again here. And the Philly's offense has proved nothing. They have shown nothing the past 2 months. Maybe one or two okay games against bad defenses. Not impressed. Bucks at the Rams. I think the angle to look at this game is the over. I know the Rams kind of shit the bed last week, but this is not the Seattle defense. The Bucks are not good on pass defense. The Rams obviously have probably the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. Matthew Stafford is playing amazing football. It's going to be 60s, calm, no wind in LA. Baker and the Bucks need this win. Baker's going to play well. If Baker gets the 24 points, which is very, very plausible, and this is a good Rams defense, obviously, but I think, you know, the Bucks, Bucky Irvin could be back. I think the Bucks really show up in this one. So if the Bucks get over 20 points, I think this is an obvious over. And I would have to lean Bucks in this spot. I mean, the Rams, if you look at like a well-balanced team, total EPA, offense and defense, the Rams are a top 10 team. I believe they're top five offensively. This is a arguably the most well-balanced team in the NFL and a surefire Super Bowl contender, like an obvious Super Bowl contender. But it's one spot after another where they have to step up against good teams, right? We saw it against San Francisco. We saw it against Seattle. This is another big challenge. They're at home, but I do think the Bucks bring it. I think the Bucks are a good like angle in the first half. Maybe the Rams pull away in the second, but I'll still lean Bucks in this situation. And finally, the Monday night game, the Panthers at the 49ers. It's up to 7 now in most books, and I think it should be. I think this is a, you know, we talk about the NFL being a week-to-week league, and this is a great example of it, right? Like the 49ers came out as -6.5 at first. To me, that's the market giving the Panthers a little bit of love, right? Because Bryce Young has the best game of his career. They get a road win. Like suddenly the market and bettors, like we have to say, oh, this is a different Panthers team. This isn't quite the same team we've seen for seasons on end. They are clearly better on both sides of the ball. But you're going up against a first-class 49ers organization who, yes, they have gone through their injuries, and yes, they're still trying to bring guys in on defense to, you know, help themselves out. They haven't been very good defensively the past month. But at home, with Brock Purdy back, and I know, you know, the 49ers got far outgained in week 11 against the Cardinals, but that's because, you know, the Cardinals turned over the ball and the 49ers took advantage of it. They were 4 of 5 in the red zone, 4 touchdowns and 5 red zone possessions. Brock Purdy came back at the right time, it seems, like he was actually ready to come back. Very smooth operation. That the Panthers are not going to be able to keep up with that, in my humble opinion. We've seen this before, right? The 49ers are already here. The Panthers are still a work in progress. Give me the 49ers. If you want all of my official plays, I'm at Substack, farleybets.substack.com. We're +8 units in the NBA in November. We had 2 straight winning weeks in the NFL, which is saying something because the first 10 weeks weren't that great. I had maybe a few winning weeks in there, but it's been one of those seasons for me. But things are looking up across the board except for my health right now. I feel like shit. other than that, guys, thanks for listening in. Check me out on Substack. I'll see you next week.